And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next hour, the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Giants have two games in 1 week. They'll play Washington on Thanksgiving night. I've got my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and on the offensive side of the ball, Super Bowl champion, Howard Cross. So let's get right to it. Let's take a look at the menu board. We'll be joined in studio by Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. Carl Banks will go to the coach's tape and dial in strategy. Paul Dottino has a chance to visit with Giants safety Landon Collins. Shane Vereen will join us here in studio, and we'll talk about the streak. Eli Manning will make his 209th consecutive start on Sunday. But it is time to put item number one up on the board. We call this no huddle. 25 seconds go up on the clock, and as always, we defer to Harry. That's all, folks.
Bob, it's very interesting that I'm looking at my favorite cartoon character, and he says, that's all, folks. I hope these guys prove me wrong, but I think we've seen the best out of this team so far this year. 9 games, we got 7 games to go, and I don't know. I don't really see these guys playing well enough to do anything this year. So the only positive thing that I think is going to come out of this year is that first pick in the draft or the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, and they're going to have a tough opponent in the Kansas City Chiefs, who come in with a record of 6-3 on Sunday. 25 seconds on the clock for Carl Banks. Rise and shine.
Well, they do have a tough opponent, and I will err on the side of optimism. I think this team has enough good players to rise and shine, rise to the occasion. This is a great opportunity. I'm not giving up hope just yet. I believe that they got enough good players.
Well, Kansas City is struggling on the defensive side of the ball, so maybe the Giants can do something offensively. Howard, 25 seconds on the clock for you. Not the first time.
Not the first time. I want all the players to think about this. If you watch this show, make sure you pay attention. Not the first time for Harry. Not the first time for Carl. Not the first time for Bob. Not the first time for me. We've all had tough runs. We've all had tough games. We all had tough weeks, had tough years. Not the first time for anybody. It's the way you answer the bell. Have pride. Go after. Do something special for yourself, because it's a tough season. But it's not the first time it happens.
Time to put item number two up on the board. We call this long haul. And, guys, obviously, there's a lot of football to be played. I mean, it's not like, they're getting blown out and there's like 2 or 3 games left. They got almost half the season to go. Mm-hmm. Harry, this past week they sat down and they did some critical thinking where they sat as a team and the coach was very harsh as far as watching the tape. Does that help at all?
I think it really does help, because when you're being shown out to your teammates, I think that takes things to a different level. If you're just among your group, it may not mean anything to some of these guys, but be called out by your head coach in front of everybody, it does have an effect on you.
Carl, what about you? I mean, you've been in some team meetings that have been salty over the years.
The thing that you feared most is you hope that your play doesn't get called out in front of the team, so you're playing as hard as you can, because you know if you made a mistake, it was going to show up in that team meeting when they start to go over all the things that went wrong.
And I think it's funny, because when it used to happen and I would sit there waiting for my moment, if there was going to be a moment, because the thing is, the players believe, and there are players on the team that think, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm giving my best effort. Everybody else is doing. They got friends and parents and everyone telling them how good they're doing. Hey, I wish your buddies would pick it up. And now you're sitting with your buddies and your teammates and your coaches, mm-hmm. and they pointing to you like, dude, why aren't you running? Hey, what were you thinking here? It becomes a problem for the guys.
One of the things that comes into play is that sense of pride that all football players have when they play the game. But if a guy doesn't have that sense of pride, if he thinks that, I'm just going to do my own thing, there is no hope for that player. And in that regard, you got to get that player off the field and put somebody else out there who is going to really want to win.
I'm a little older, old school mentality,
and
right?
I'm older than you, so I'm older
but
school.
The thing that's universal, I say it all the time, is it takes the same amount of effort and the same amount of a commitment to be good in this league from before Harry played till today. And I know the positive reinforcement for a new generation they think works, but you got to point out some of the bad things as well.
So when you look at the film, as they did, this mm-hmm. critical sort of thinking, and guys are getting called out, and it's obvious. I mean, it doesn't take Lombardi to look at some of this film and see where the effort is. Does the coach then have to take control of it and sit people down or whatever the case is? Because if you're a player and you're busting your tail and you saw on film a guy's not, and suddenly they're just rolling him back out there, does the film session have no bearing, no teeth?
It's a short lead after that. Then you put you back out there hoping that you got your wake-up call, but if you just repeat what you just saw on film, I'm sure they yank you pretty quick.
I'm pretty sure the coaches, maybe the position coach, maybe the head coach, may say something to a player, but it's all there on that screen for everybody to see.
Yeah.
And as Carl said, that camera in the sky does not lie.
Speaking of things for everybody to see, let's take a look at Giants programming across the platforms throughout the course of the weekend. Giants First and 10 with 3 airings on Friday. Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop will air 4 times on Saturday. Giants Access Blue Saturday night at 11 p.m. on My9. You don't want to miss Giants Chronicles Sunday morning at 10 a.m. A look back at the 2007 Super Bowl champion Giants offensive line and that unique group that it was. Giants First and 10 again on Sunday morning, getting you set for the Giants and Chiefs. And then Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz right after the game on MSG2. If you're coming to the Giants game on Sunday, the Giants, in conjunction with Stop and Shop, will hold their annual food drive, bring non-perishable items that will be collected at each and every gate as you enter the stadium. We're going to take a timeout when we come back here on Giants First and 10. Head coach Ben McAdoo joins us here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop on the MSG Networks. We're back here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, 1 o'clock on Sunday. It's the Giants and Chiefs. Time to put item number 3 up on the board. As always, joined by the head coach of the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo. And, Coach, obviously you talked about it with the press this week. Good critical session with the players as far as studying things and talking about things. How productive was that meeting with your players?
We had a good response to it. Players responded on Wednesday and Thursday in practice and took it to heart. So we'll see how it works out on Sunday.
Coach, obviously, when you see a lot of things that go wrong, it's back to basics. And when you look at a team like the Kansas City Chiefs and their dynamic offense, mm-hmm. basics and fundamentals is where it really has to start with those guys, trying to defend that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We need to go out. We need to get lined up, first of all, because mm-hmm. if you're a step slow or you're not lined up, they could take one to the house on you. They really have running backs playing wide receivers. With the way they play offense, they like to get the ball in the perimeter and do it in a hurry, and they have a variety of ways they can do it. So we need to make sure we go out, we get lined up, and we have everybody running to the football this week.
Alex Smith is a guy that has played high-level football for a mm-hmm. long time, doesn't turn the football over, had his first interception in Dallas. When you study him and you watch him, what are some of the things that maybe fans and media miss about how good he is?
Well, everything that they do on offense requires a lot of orchestration. I mean, it's not something that is simple to get done from an offensive standpoint. So he gets the information, gets it to the players, gets out of the huddle quickly, gets them lined up, and you see that confidence. They have a lot of confidence in Alex, and you see it with the way they play.
Special teams with a guy like Tariq Hill back there, what are the challenges that he presents, number one, and then what do you have to make sure you cannot do with a guy like that returning?
Well, first thing is it's going to be about 19 mile an hour winds on Sunday, so that we're counting on that to help us a little bit. We can't rush into our coverage lanes too fast, even though they have a tremendous returner back there. He can take one to the house if you give him a sliver. So we have to do our job in protection first in the punt game. We have to position the ball well, make sure we have some hang on it, and leave it close to the sideline. If you punt the ball down the middle of the field, it's going to be challenging for us in our coverage lanes. But, you know, try to pin them to the sideline, let the ball hang up there a little bit, position it to the sideline, and then we have to tackle. We have to get our hands on them. The first guy's got to get them in the grasp and go after the ball after that. But we got to make sure we all rally to the ball, be disciplined in our coverage lanes.
You got a lot of talented guys on the defensive side of the ball. Their numbers don't necessarily match kind of what the talent level is there. Are the numbers a little bit of an aberration for them?
Yeah.
You study?
Yeah, they like to get after the quarterback. That's where it starts for them. They have a history of getting after the quarterback. They've been in some higher scoring games because they put up some points offensively. So the games have turned into shootouts at times. So I would say the numbers don't give the defense the credit that they deserve. But they are good up front, and they play a lot of defensive backs. As many as anybody in the league, you'll see three safeties playing out there at one time, and they have a talented duo corners. Peters is real talented, real aggressive. He'll take a shot on the ball, and he'll come up with the catch as well. He has great ball skills and the talent to take it to the house after he catches it. So we have our work cut out for us there.
Well, Coach, obviously one way to neutralize a potent pass rush is heavy-handed football and the run game. Are you happy with what the direction this running game is going? It's put up pretty good results over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm pleased with the progress of our run game. When we put big people on the field, we're blocking better. We're playing more physical. We're finishing. The backs are running big. We need to get a lead in one of these games and make sure we extend the lead. Once you get the lead, you extend the lead, then we'll have a chance to wear teams out in the fourth quarter, something that we haven't been able to do. But we're confident that we can get that job done. We get a lead in the fourth quarter and get into our four-minute offense.
Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes. I know it's a busy stretch here with two games in the span of a week, but good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, and giddy up.
There you go. New York Giants head coach Ben McAdoo breaking it down for you. Now let's go deeper into it. Time for strategy as we put item number 4 up on the board. Here's Carl Banks with strategy in the coach's tape.
The Kansas City Chiefs are so multiple on offense that they will try to find a mismatch, especially if they can find it in man coverage. So when I say multiple, I'm going to show you where all of the stress comes on the defense. Watch the middle of the field where the linebacker is. They try to put stress on him because they put a crossing route. Let's go to the top of the screen. They run a back out of the backfield. There. So there are a lot of different stresses. And then the safety has two guys running down on top of him. So as soon as they find a mismatch on the crossing route, the linebacker's too slow. Quarterback finds the crosser in the middle of the field. Now let's take a look at the running game. They've got three tight ends. That tells you it's going to be a power running game. You have a corner who's off, a linebacker, and a defensive end. They're all lined up. Every guy is covered. But when the ball is snapped, it's fast. So I'm going to circle this defensive back. He's off the line of scrimmage. But as soon as he sees run, he's got to come across the line of scrimmage to the outside shoulder. And I'll draw a line to the outside shoulder of number 88. To make sure that ball goes inside. Ball is snapped. The defensive back is caught looking in the backfield. As you can see, he's got to get up the field, and he's running backwards. And there you go. Ball's out to the edge and down the sideline. And lastly, really quick, the versatility of Travis Kelce. He's lined up at wide receiver at the top of the screen. I just want to show you what his diversity is in terms of the ability to run like a wide receiver. I'm just going to show a little bit of this play. Look at his shake and bake off the line of scrimmage. I mean, he just beats a cornerback off the line of scrimmage as if he were a small wide receiver.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Let's take a look at Giant First and 10 programming throughout the course of this weekend on the MSG networks. 3 airings on Friday, 4 more come your way on Saturday, and then an airing on Sunday morning after Giants Chronicles at 10:30 a.m., another edition of Giants First and 10. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll take you inside the Giants locker room. Paul Dottino talks with Landon Collins as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. On Sunday, it's the Giants and Chiefs, MetLife Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff. Time to put item number 5 up on the board. And as always, Paul Dottino ventures into the Giants locker room. The Chiefs have an explosive offense. So Paul went to one of the sources for the big blue, safety Landon Collins.
Landon, when people talk about the Chiefs' offense, they talk about their team speed. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not it's Hill or it's Kelce or it's Hunt, mm-hmm. they really seem to motor. What is it about their team speed that makes them so dangerous and how they use it?
All the guys are quick and fast. I mean, Alex Smith started off. I mean, he's a quick quarterback at that, and he's up-tempo quarterback, and he's very quick on the dime. And by them doing that and catching the ball, they just get it and go.
You know what's funny? Kareem Hunt timed at 4.6 at the combine, mm-hmm. which by nature doesn't seem fast according mm-hmm. to the clockings, but I guess it's about how fast he plays more correct. Than his time.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I say the same thing about myself, you know. I clocked in 4.53, but I'm actually a 4.3, 4.4 guy on the field, so it depends. I mean, game speed and track and running speed is totally different when mm-hmm. you're playing a game. So, yeah, he's actually faster on game days.
Now, Coach Ben McAdoo said that Travis Kelce, to him, is a basketball player. Mm-hmm. When he says that, what does that mean to you? What do you have to watch for?
He can go up and get any ball. He's high-pointed, and basically you get it off the rim. You can do it all. He's definitely loose, he's fast, he's quick, and got wide receiver moves.
Alex Smith has thrown one interception this season. How is that possible? Is he leaving balls out there for defenses to get, and they're not making plays? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, he's leaving balls out there. There's some overthrown balls, but at the same time, I mean, you got to key in on their guys. I mean, those guys catch the ball, they can hit it for a home run. So, I mean, besides the balls that's gone over the head, you want to key on those guys.
And then final question. Your defense has had a lot of moving parts, a lot of missing pieces, a lot of substitute pieces. Does that make the communication even more important this week?
Man, communication is always key on our defense because everybody has to be on the same pitch. We all on the same pitch. We want to sign and we play great.
Landon Collins will get his first taste of the Kansas City Chiefs playing his first game ever against Kansas City. And Paul DeTina now joins us fresh out of the Giants locker room. And Paul, I mean, I know the Chiefs have struggled in three of their last four games, having lost three of their last four, but, man, they hit you in a lot of different areas, don't they?
They do, and the thing about it is they're so efficient, Bob. I mean, we talked earlier with Landon about only one interception thrown by Alex Smith. You know, they've only lost two fumbles this year as well, Carl, so they're not making mistakes. So as the Giants defense, if you're Steve Spagnuolo trying to coordinate this thing, do you try to take more chances to get them into those kind of situations where they might make mistakes, or you just play it safe?
No, you've got to be kind of fighting a war of attrition. You cannot give them big play opportunities because that's how they blow games open. They're very capable, but you want to test the patience. You want to see if they can methodically go 3 yards, 4 yards. Mm-hmm. You don't want 44-yarders, 20-yarders, 30-yarders. You want them to hit you. If they're going to hit you, limit it to 10. Make them line up and just keep going and keep going. That's where mistakes come. But if you give them five plays, 85 yards, that means there was a 50-yarder somewhere in there.
I think it's more back to the basics for the defense. You know, get a lot of lane integrity. Set the picket fence up. You don't send guys, extra guys. What their success is that Alex Smith can run, and people don't give him enough credit for that. So if you rush him and get out of your lane, he'll run for a first down. That keeps drives going. Keep him in the pocket. You know, you got to make tackles. Guys got to rally to the ball on the running backs. And as far as the tight end, man, somebody's going to have to step up.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I want to flip it 1 second, Howard, because the Chiefs are also in the bottom five in the NFL in defending the pass and defending the run. If you're the Giants, even though you've been lately trying to run the ball, do you try to open it up more to get ahead of them? Because you're not going to come from behind against this team.
I think with the way the Giants are playing right now and the troubles and the mistakes and everything else that's happening, again, even for the offense, back to the basics. Run the ball, develop the passing game off of the run, play action pass, and every once in a while if you get a chance, go downfield. You don't have all your weapons, so go with the guys that are going to be there, and that's your offensive line.
And your offense is your best defense in mm-hmm. this game. The more yeah. your offense stays on the field, the less their offense is on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you guys.
Paul DeTina, Inside the Locker Room, this segment of the program brought to you by NFL Ticket Exchange, the official ticket exchange of the National Football League. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, Madeline Burke with Helping Hands. We'll tell you about it as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. 1 o'clock, it's the Giants and Chiefs on Sunday. Time to put item number 8 up on the board. In our player spotlight, we focus in on running back Shane Vereen.
Shane Vereen. Screen right for Vereen. Over the middle. Vereen's got it. To the goal line. Touchdown, Giants. Vereen does a MetLife leap into the stands. Manning handoff Vereen. Powers off the right side. In for the Giant touchdown. Standing up. They have a screen set up right for Vereen. Needing a block. Manning takes the snap, throws it to Vereen in the flat. He gets a block. He's up the right sideline to the 35. It's a gain of 15. Vereen makes a man miss, cuts it to 35. He's to the 30. Screen right for Vereen. He gets a block. Vereen dances out to the 25 to the 30. 35, 40.
The dual action threat of Shane Vereen as the Giants get set to take on Kansas City. And Shane joins us here in studio right now. And Shane, first of all, it's got to feel pretty good this year being back and playing after having to deal with injury all of last year. How tough was that to deal with that, being used to being on the field?
Yeah, I would even say it's probably that was probably tougher to deal with than the way the season's going right now. Just feeling, you know, so beaten down and helpless, trying to get out there, trying to get back, and then the second injury happened again. I'm very blessed, very happy to be able to take the field with my team.
That run game has opened up so many options for you guys, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's the biggest difference between our offense last year and this year is how productive the run game has been this year. And I said this in the beginning of the season, we have a very, very talented backfield, one of the most talented backfields I've ever been a part of. Every back that touches the ball has the ability to do something great with it, and that's rare. And so being in that group of guys, you know, what we try to do is just try to get first downs, try and stay on the field. And the more the run game works, the more plays we get, the more time the offense is on the field, which means the more everybody gets to play, and that's the goal.
What made the run game pick up so much, though? What's the big difference?
I think the biggest difference is the O-line has done a great job this year. I know they take a lot of slack for this and that and the third, but I think as a whole they've done a fantastic job this year. We've been running the ball. Orleans is averaging about 5 yards a pop. Wayne is getting big runs every game, and it's exciting, you know. And the more we can do that, the more successful we be, I think the better the offense will be.
Where is your reasoning for optimism? I think fans want to know because, you know, what you hear in the public is not necessarily what the attitude is here in the building.
Yeah.
What is the reason for optimism?
The reason for optimism is because at the end of the day, we all started playing football for a certain reason. I started playing football just because my dad did and because I loved the game. And that's why I'm still playing now. I think when the season doesn't go the way you want it to, you go back to, let me think of the reason why I started playing football in the first place. Why do I still want to play? Why do I still want to put myself out there every Sunday with this team? And that's what you go back to. That's what I go back to. And I just remember being a kid, and all I was thinking about was getting a shot to play in the NFL, getting a shot to play in college, just at that next level. And I'm here at this next level, and it's a blessing. And, you know, to take it for granted would be a shame.
You feel you guys have enough to get it done?
I absolutely. I've always felt that even after the injuries that we've had this season, I still think that this team is talented enough to win games and to win multiple games and to surprise people. I really do.
Take it to Kansas City. Now, Kansas City looks like they're one of the top teams in the NFL, but their defense over the last few games, it's been struggling. So when you guys look at this defense, like, where do you see your advantages? Where do you see where you guys can get better at?
Right. Well, we know defensively they're an aggressive team. They got playmakers all over the place. Justin Houston, Marcus Peters, Derek Johnson. They got all types of guys that can make plays. And so we know that. So we know where they are. But we also know that we have matchups that are favorable for us. Evan Ingram's been a matchup nightmare for most teams this season. Shep has been doing his thing. And so we're trying to play with those matchups, just try to get the ball into the hands of the guys that can do something and you know, see what happens. Yeah.
Shane, we appreciate a couple minutes. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. It's
Thank
a
you.
Busy week.
Yeah. You've
got to work on Thanksgiving. We all do. But good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Shane Vereen joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout when we come back here on the show. It's time for Extra Point. Howard Cross goes one-on-one with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Time to take a look at Stats Plus, brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. Four, Evan Engram is the first Giants tight end with a touchdown reception in four consecutive games since Mark Bavaro did it in 1987. 10, the Giants have allowed a receiving touchdown to an opposing tight end in 10 consecutive games dating back to last year. This year, they've given up a total of 10 touchdowns to tight ends, five of them have been over 30 yards with three going for touchdowns. 11, the Chiefs have had 11 starting quarterbacks since Eli Manning began his streak of consecutive starts back on November the 21st of 2004. Eli will start in his 209th consecutive game on Sunday. And 129.2, Eli Manning leads the NFL in quarterback rating in red zone passing. He's 21 of 28 for 168 yards with 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. We welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Time to put item number 9 up on the board. Extra Point is what we call it. And we welcome in Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. And Paul, we talked about it earlier on the program, the critical film session that Ben McAdoo had with his players. Are you surprised that it happened after 9 games were played?
I love that it happened. Look, you got to... Right, eye in the sky doesn't lie. The film doesn't lie. What took so long, Howard?
I don't know. I think you got to factor in a couple things. You had a lot of injuries right off the bat. You know, Odell wasn't playing first in the year. When he finally came back, he was limping. Then he finally gets started. Once he gets started, all of a sudden, he's gone again. Once he's gone, you're playing with guys who, receivers that are not quite there yet. They're trying to feel their way, trying to get in sync with Eli. All that stuff's going on at the same time. So there's not really a moment you can point to and say, we should do it now. I understand it's a great idea, and you should do it. But it doesn't help if you're going to just go in and look at one side of the ball or the other.
But the bottom line is, are there going to be any lineup changes? In other words, you had the critical thing. Guys got called out in front of the entire team. But then they just roll the same guys out there.
Ben said there could be changes based on this, and it will be very interesting to see right at the start of the game, is Janoris Jenkins starting? Because based on his performance in San Francisco, he should not start the game because he didn't hustle on certain plays. It'll be very interesting to see if Ben does that.
Well, you know, I'm going to say it this way. I think if I'm trying to figure it out, I'm in the back, I'm pulling the guys aside. Hey, look, we just pointed you out on film. Everybody saw what you were doing. This is time for your pride to step up. You need to show your teammates, forget about me, show your teammates that you not just want to be here, but you're playing for them.
All right, Sterling Shepard had a career high in receiving yards last week. He's got two 100-yard receiving games this season, three in his career. Is he morphing into that sort of number one type wide receiver? I mean, when you're on a team with Odell Beckham Jr., you're never going to be number one. But can he take his game to that next level?
Yeah, like we said, number one type. Because, right, you have Odell, and then you have a lot of other guys who are number ones on a lot of teams. Look, you got to extract, Howard, right, any positive you can out of this brutal season.
Yeah.
Evan Engram is certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. Sterling Shepard is one of them. Now, he had the bad ankle. It was slowed down. Mm-hmm. Wasn't doing a whole lot. But he showed a lot. He's shown a lot with these guys falling apart. The only thing I'm concerned about is he takes a lot of hits. You know, he somebody contested
catches.
He's
over the
middle. He takes a lot of hits.
Well, here's the thing I got with being number one. Number one means that the dynamic receiver that's going to be the guy that's going to be there every play, week in and week out. Sterling Shepard is now the number one receiver because he's forced into the number one role. Can he be the number one if there was another dynamic receiver? That stands, you know, I don't know. You know, I would think he could, but I don't know. Right now, he's the number one option. You got the tight end Engram, and you got Shepard.
And look, you see what guys are made of in adversity. It's been a very adverse season, and as we know, and you know, Sterling is rising, which is good.
Paul, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank you,
Thanksgiving to you and your family as well. Paul Schwartz joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to look at the streak of Eli Manning. On Sunday, he'll start his 209th consecutive game. We'll look back at Eli throughout the years. You're watching Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants here on the MSG Networks.
We had a good response to it. Players responded on Wednesday and Thursday in practice and took it to heart. So we'll see how it works out on Sunday.
I'm looking at my favorite cartoon character.
That's all, folks.
No matter what your on-field season is like, when you're going out during the holiday season, it's something you do from the heart.
I started playing football just because my dad did and because I love the game. And that's where I'm still playing now.
Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, and giddy up.
That was the Geico Show Recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, time to put item number 10 on the board. And it's fitting that number 10 is Eli Manning. On Sunday, Eli will start his 209th consecutive game. That is the second longest streak of any quarterback in NFL history, behind only Brett Favre. Overall, since 1991, he trails Will Shields, 223 consecutive starts, and Brad Matthews with 229. Here's a look back at Eazy-E and the streak.
I want to play. You know, that's what I like to do. I like to play football and play quarterback, and happy to be out there each and every week with my teammates. That's a goal of mine, to stay healthy, to play through injuries, to be accountable. You know, my goal is to prepare every week and do my job.
And from Ole Miss, at quarterback, number 10, Eli Manning.
Play hard, play fast, everything's going to work out, all right? Come on, we got to win.
Make some plays, baby. There's a lot of opportunities. Let's go make them. Have some fun. Whatever it takes. Get a win, baby. Win on three. One, two, three, win.
Manning takes the snap, drops back, throws it over the middle. Touchdown, Shockey. Let the record show. Eli Manning's first touchdown pass goes to Jeremy Shockey.
Elevate.
Takes the snap, drops back, puts his on. Barber gets it. Manning trips. Goes to the end zone. Drops back, flips on, keeps it left for Plaxico. Burris, who makes the catch for a touchdown? Burris just beat Sheldon Rob for a touchdown, and the Giants have won in overtime, and they come on the field and mob Manning. Play fake, looks, trying to find Shockey. He's covered. Manning's going to roll to his left. Manning's going to run to the five. Manning to the goal line. Touchdown, Eli Manning. A rushing touchdown for Eli.
All right, let's go win.
Play fake, Manning to throw. Rolls it left to the end zone. Touchdown, Giants!
Eli Manning!
I think they're trying to bring overload, maybe?
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do with it.
Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants! Manning back. Looks left, throws toward the end zone, and it is reached up and caught for by Denell for the touchdown! He held on to it!
How about that?
Marks out the signal, takes the snap, lobs one right corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Giants, Odell Beckham Jr. Takes the shotgun snap. Looks, throws it into the end zone. Touchdown, Ingram! Right over the head of Eric Reed. What a throw by Manning.
And Eli just throws a dime.
Let's get it tonight. Let's get it. We got to want it.
That is important to me, to be there for my team and my teammates, but it's not about breaking a record, though.
The seventh most passing yards in NFL history, over 50,000. The seventh most touchdown passes, 334. And more importantly, 209 consecutive regular season starts. And Harry, you played against a lot of people. All of you guys played a lot of games. It's not like he hasn't been hit over that time. How amazing is this streak?
You know, he certainly has been an iron man. He has, just looking at the clip, I'm looking at all the players that he has played with, he has thrown passes to. But I think if you ask Eli if he wanted the longevity of playing against Super Bowls, I think he would go with Super Bowl and championships.
I think the most impressive thing I heard in that clip is when he said it wasn't about the streak in particular, it was about being there for his teammates every week, and yeah. I thought that speaks volumes.
I think it's, you know, his greatest ability may be his availability, being healthy the whole time, 209 games mm-hmm. in a row starting the regular season. That's something that you just don't see. Everybody seems to get nicked, bumped, or knocked around, and he doesn't look like this big, rough and tough guy. He's just like Eli. He gets it done.
Well, he's going to get a chance to go against the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll move into that second place behind Brett Favre with the start on Sunday. Listen, folks, this is a busy week. The Giants have a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, and then they got to go back on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, and play the Redskins in Washington. So a little primer here. Let's take a look at Giants First and 10 programming coming up for you Thanksgiving week. It'll make its debut on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. and then at 11 p.m. Then on Thanksgiving, two airings during the day. And then on Thanksgiving night, make sure you join us for Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, immediately following the Giants and Redskins on Thanksgiving night on MSG. If you're coming to the game on Sunday, Giants and Stop and Shop are going to hold their annual food drive. Bring non-perishable canned food items. They'll be collected at every gate. So we are out of time. For Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Howard Cross, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants here on the MSG Networks.